Good evening. Tonight we are continuing our series on the acts of worship. And tonight we're talking about preaching and teaching. Two major components that go into worship. Because without teaching the truth and preaching the truth, when the lost are here and present, they won't hear the truth being spoken. And it's so important because for some people, they get to hear the truth once a week. For others, twice or three times a week, we get to dive into the truth. And it's so important that not only do we preach and teach truth here, but that we also go out and do it as well. We see in places like Matthew 28, the Great Commission, we are commanded to go make disciples. Mark 16, 15 and 16. And we see in Paul's letters writing to the church to continue in truth, to continue teaching truth and living it. It's so important that we need, when we come here, to hear the word of God being taught, being preached, reminding us once a week, twice a week, three times a week, what we need to do as Christians, how we are to live. Because without truth, we would be lost, confused, because we know there's no truth out in the world. We know that many do not speak the truth. And so this is the one time that we get to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ to hear the word being preached. And so we must understand that truth opens the eyes. Truth helps us understand. It takes the blinders off. People of the world, they have blinders on and they only see what they want to see. They only see what others want them to see. But once those blinders are taken off, a whole new world is opened up. A whole new world they can see. They can see the lies. They can see the deceiving going on. And it's so important that we try to help others take the blinders off and see the truth for what it is. Because when we look at Nehemiah chapter 8, starting in verses 1 through 3, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women, and that those who could understand and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." And so we have here a public reading before all the people of the law of Moses, which God had commanded Israel. Can you imagine if I asked you to stand for the whole service and just for the law to be read? It would be a daunting task, standing all that time, especially if you have a long-winded preacher who preaches 45 to an hour. Can you imagine? But this was done from morning until midday. These people were attentive. They were listening. They loved hearing the law of Moses, being reminded of what God has commanded Israel. You go back to Israel's early days, before the captivity. We go all the way back to Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the law, the first five books, the Pentateuch. These are the laws that Israel was to follow every day, not just once a year, once a week, once a month. Every day they were reminded through prophets. They were reminded by God to do these things that are pleasing in my sight. And they took it seriously. Now, of course, they weren't perfect. They failed. They disobeyed God many times. But we see that when they were on, They followed his word to the very last period. They listened. They obeyed. They loved hearing the law read. And we do. We today take for granted scripture that we have. How many of us actually sit down and memorize scripture, the truth which has opened our eyes? How many of us live it? Do we take it for granted? It's so important that we also come here ready to listen. And I'm not saying I'm the greatest preacher of all, but what I'm saying is we should be rejoicing to be able to come and to hear God's word being spoke. It's such a beautiful thing. It's a great opportunity. Because for some people, once again, they're only here Sunday mornings, once a week. That's the only time they get to hear the truth. God's word being spoken and taught. It's so important that we take advantage, because before this point, Nehemiah was part of another group that was coming back to Jerusalem to help rebuild it. Before they were taken, Jerusalem was destroyed. They were in captivity. And now being allowed back, being allowed back to come back and to rebuild. And Nehemiah bringing and speaking the law of God to the people, the law of Moses to the people. They would have rejoiced. They'd have been happy to hear it. Because when we go to Acts chapter 2, which really we see the early church, how they did things. In verse 42 it says, "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, what was the apostles' doctrine? Well, it's the word of God. God spoke through them. And so they were giving them God's words, just like the prophets of old did. And they steadfastly, they remained steadfastly in their teachings, in their doctrines, because they knew these men were men of God. They were the apostles chosen by God to go forth and to bring forth the message about Christ and who Christ is. Before then, before here, 3,000 souls were just added. They were a young church, babes in Christ. They were on fire. They were ready to hear the truth. It amazes me. When I went to preaching school, I went with guys who were in denominations. But they were converted. And I often looked at them because these guys were full of zeal. They were fervent. They were ready to go. They were passionate. But then I look at people who have been in the church for all of their life. And I don't see that there. And I was one of them. I was struggling. I'm like, man, I wish I was zealous like that. I wish I had the zeal. These guys were committed to studying every day. They were committed to hearing the word be preached, to hear the truth. One man in particular, I got to meet him again at PTP last year. He went to a very dangerous country to preach the word, Armenia, which is near Iraq, Iran. That's how zealous he was for the Lord. And he was a man, once again, who grew up in denominations. I wish people would understand how important it is. They would not only come here on Sunday mornings, but Sunday evenings, Wednesday nights. It's important. It's our chance to gather together, to study, to hear God's truth. Yet, once again, many neglect it. Many don't, they don't understand. Or maybe they just don't desire. Maybe they just think, well, if I come Sunday morning, I'm good. We need to be here every time the doors are open. But at home as well, studying, we are blessed to have God's word in book form right before us. You can go for $5-$10 and buy you the Word of God cheap. You have it right there in your hands to read, to study. In Romans chapter 10, verses 15 through 17, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without preaching and teaching, the truth would not be heard. It's very important. People who are lost, and we have lost people who sit among us, who sit in all kinds of, all the different congregations throughout the country, who are still lost. And it's so good for them to hear the truth be spoken. That's one dilemma a preacher has to face. What do I preach on Sunday morning and Sunday evening? Usually on Sunday evening are the faithful, consistent ones who come when every time the doors are open. Sunday mornings you have people who come in who aren't here all the time. And so that's a dilemma preachers face. What do I preach? What do they need to hear? But once again, how can they hear? How can they come to believe without hearing the word of God? It's impossible. We look at Christ. He went to everyone preaching the truth. The apostles went out preaching the truth. The disciples went out preaching the truth. They wanted to be heard because it will change your life. It's so important. Now, of course, it's the hearers have a part to play in it. They have to accept it. They have to believe it. They have to embrace it. Do we? And so, the truth is, we need preaching. We need teaching the gospel. It's a vital part of worship. It's how we know how to worship. It's how we know about the Lord's Supper. It's how we know how to pray. It's how we know, do we use instruments? Do we not? We wouldn't know any of those things if the Word of God was not preached. Another thing that preaching and teaching helps is warning us and letting us know about false teachers. If you don't know the truth and you can't defend the truth, then beware of false teachers, because many who do not spend time in truth can be deceived and will be deceived. It's so important. We look in places like 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. False teachers are very deceiving. They're very smart, too. They know how to sneak in and to cause trouble. They know who to target. We see it every day. When you look at the many false teachers who are out there leading congregations astray, pulling them from the truth into falsehood, they know what to say. They're very charismatic. You look at all the many cults that have been through the years, have happened throughout the years. The leaders are always someone who's charismatic and who's looking to benefit off of the people. Paul dealt with this. Peter dealt with it. Timothy dealt with it. False teachers were everywhere. They were looking to deceive people. Even the Jews at this time, who denied, rejected to live under the New Testament and still live under a law that could not save them, and trying to pull people back under that same law that cannot save. People are deceived because they don't know truth. They don't study it for themselves. When the preacher says something, they just nod their head. Yes, amen, all this good stuff. They never look at what the preacher has preached and to see if it's true. I've heard preachers in the past who will only use one or two texts for their entire sermon, and the rest are stories. They make jokes. They make people laugh. It's so important to preach and teach to the truth and to hear the truth so you know, but also to go by yourself and study these things. When we look at Romans chapter 16, starting in verse 17, Romans 16, starting in verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your disobedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. How can we know what is evil in the sight of God? It's only through knowing His Word and studying and hearing it to know what is evil, what is not right before the eyes of God. But these same people will cause division. These same people will cause offenses. I know plenty of congregations that had splits because people were there causing division. They were causing trouble. Been studying through Acts. We see the many times that the Jews, angry, even Gentiles who grew angry and stirred up trouble because Paul was preaching the truth and was taken away from them. How many times have you seen that looking through, studying Acts? It happens all the time, even today. People will stir up trouble when they don't want to hear truth, when they want it their way, not God's way. That's a big problem with worship today. People do it their way, not God's way. It's sad, but it happens all the time. And many sit there blind. They close their ears and they let it happen. I've been to congregations and I've asked myself this question. If I got up and spoke false doctrine, how many people would stand up and stop me? The truth is, probably none of them. People remain silent. Either they don't know the truth or we have this idea of, well, we don't want to offend people with the truth. What a bunch of garbage. When we worked the booth last year, I had a couple who were homosexuals come to me and they asked me a question. Are you welcoming to all? Yes, we are welcome. We're not going to turn anyone away. But at the same time, we won't bow to sin. I didn't say that. That was not the place nor the time to do that. But absolutely, we're welcoming to all. But don't think that us Christians, true Christians, will put up with any false doctrine. We'll put up with people trying to cause division. Sadly, one lesson that many preachers don't preach is to withdraw from people. That's a topic that is awful in the eyes of many Christians, sadly. Church discipline. But it must be done. If not, these things happen like we see in Romans, like we see in 2 Corinthians. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. This is in Christ's own words. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. How can we know them? It says by their fruits, but how do we know if it's good fruit or bad fruit? by hearing the truth and knowing the truth and living the truth. It's how we will know. Once again, without hearing the truth, without knowing the truth, we won't be able to discern between good and evil. That's why when we look at the main text that was spoken, read tonight, 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul, and really when you start in verse 12, we'll start in verse 12, and the title is Take Heed to Your Ministry. At this time, Timothy is in Ephesus. This is what Paul tells him starting in verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. This was Paul's command to Timothy. To continue in the truth. To continue in the doctrine that has been given to him. To be an example in all the different areas of your life. To be Christ-like. To understand and protect yourself. Don't allow things to distract you. Don't allow things to pull you away. Be an example for these people. Once again, how are we to be an example? You find through studying and living the truth. Knowing the truth. It's the only way. We have so many who are lost. And who continue to hear false doctrine preached to them every Sunday. We even have people who are in the church who are still lost. Now, of course, there's nothing more you can do. All you can do is pray for those individuals that they will open their hearts to the truth. It's a sad thing, but it's true. But when we look at truth, preaching and teaching is so vital in worship, because it's how the lost will hear the truth. It's how Christians will be reminded to remain faithful and to do what's right for God, not for themselves. To remain vigilant, sober-minded, to do what's right in the eyes of God. I've said it before, every sermon I preach is a reminder sermon for all. It's a reminder to me. Are we preaching and teaching truth? Well, so far, yes. But most importantly, are we living it? Are we living out the truth that we hear? We are told in John chapter 8 that the truth will set you free, and it has indeed for those who are Christians. We have been set free. The blinders have been taken off. But for those who are lost, you still have those blinders on. And I hope that tonight you take the blinders off, that you hear the truth, and that you embrace the truth that has been preached to you, and that you open your hearts to God and give your life to Him this evening. If you're not a Christian, come forward tonight. Give your life to Him. And this is how you do it. And here's the truth. Hear the word, Romans 10:17. Believe it, John 3:16-17. Repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. Confess your faith in Christ Jesus, Romans 10:10. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:26. But it doesn't stop there. Now the hard part. You must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. I promise you, when you give your life to Christ, it'll be the greatest decision you ever make. Won't be easy, but having Christ in your corner will make it bearable, will make it to where you can keep moving forward. Or if you are a Christian, There's still time to come forward and to renew your walk with Christ. He is still there with his arms wide open, waiting for you to come back. All you need to do is to repent of your sins, to make that commitment. If you're here this evening, if you need any assistance, come as we stand and as we sing.